To Cleo, it had felt like a dream. A dream with one snag. Piers had a new but promising career in foreign diplomacy, and Cleo was rather young to assume the duties of managing a household. They had all the time in the world, he pointed out. She didn't mind a long engagement, did she? Of course not, she'd said. Looking back, perhaps she should have given a different answer, such as, define long. 8 years and no weddings later, Cleo was still waiting. By now her situation was a public joke. The scandal sheets called her Miss Waitmore. The gossip trailed her everywhere. Just what could be keeping his lordship from England and the altar, they all wondered. Was it ambition, distraction, devotion to his duty, or devotion to a foreign mistress, perhaps? No one could say. Least of all Cleo herself. Oh, she tried to laugh away the rumours and smile at the jokes, but inside she was hurting, and utterly alone. Well, that all ended today. Starting this moment, she was Miss Waite no longer. The brass door handle turned in her gloved grip, and the door swung open. Stay here, she told the servants. But Miss Whitmore, it isn't. I will be fine. Yes, his reputation is scandalous, but we were friends in our childhood. I spent summers at his family home, and I'm engaged to marry his brother. Even so, Miss Whitmore, we should have a signal. A signal? A word to shout if you're in distress, like Tangiers or, perhaps, Muscadine. Cleo gave her an amused look. Is something wrong with the word help? I suppose not. Very well, she smiled, unable to bear Anna's look of disappointment. Muscadine it is. She passed through the door, walked down a dim corridor and emerged into a soaring empty space. What she found made her blood turn cold. Oh, Muscadine. She blinked and forced herself to look again. Perhaps it wasn't him. But there was no mistaking his profile. That rugged slope of a nose healed from multiple breaks. Add in the thick dark hair, the strong jaw, the impressive breadth of his shoulders. That was Lord Ralph Brandon himself, perched on a crossbeam some dozen feet above the bricked floor. He had a rope in his hands, and he was knotting it securely to the beam. At the end of the rope was a loop. A noose. Apparently his spirits hadn't fallen as low as she'd feared. They'd sunk lower, and she'd arrived not a moment too soon. Her heartbeat went into a panic stutter, womp, womp, womping in her chest. My lord, don't do this. He glanced up.
Miss Whitmore.
Yes, it's me.
She advanced in small steps, lifting an open palm in a gesture of peace.
It's Miss Whitmore. It's Cleo. I know we've had our differences. I'm not sure if we have anything but differences, but I'm here for you, and I beg of you, please, reconsider.
Reconsider? He gave her a hard look. You mean to stop me from...
Yes, don't do something you'll regret. You have so much to live for.
He paused. I've no wife, no children. Both my parents are dead. My brother and I haven't been on speaking terms for nearly a decade.
But you have friends, surely, and many fine qualities.
What would those be?
Drat. Cleo should have known that was coming. She mentally ran through everything she knew of his life in recent years. Most of it came from the newspapers, and nearly all of it was horrid. Ralph Brandon had earned a reputation for being ruthless in a boxing match and shameless everywhere else. His endurance in the bedroom was almost as legendary as his quickness in the ring. They called him the Devil's Own.
Strength, Cleo offered. That's a fine quality.
He cinched a knot tight.
Oxen are strong. Doesn't save them from slaughter when they can't pull any more.
Don't speak that way. Perhaps you're no longer the champion, but that doesn't mean you're worthless.
Her mind groped for something, anything else.